Hello, and welcome to this Lush podcast on Activism in Existence, the series that seeks to uncover the individual story and their experiences of being an activist, how they've changed the world, and how activism has changed them. This series will showcase the diversity of individuals and their approach within activism, and what it means to be a glitch in the system. In this episode, we spoke with Lush Spring Prize judge Dorothy Guerrero from Global Justice Now about her lifelong political activism for alternative resources and environmental practice.
What is your story?
Well, my name is Dorothy Guerrero. I'm called Dottie by my friends. I'm originally from the Philippines. And in the last 30 or so years, I've been doing campaigns. I consider myself as a lifelong activist. And I think it is coming from the context and the historical period where I grew up in that period of time. I'm originally from the Philippines, and I was born in 1968. And in the Philippines, those born from the late 1960s to early 1980s were called the martial law babies. So I was born under martial law. It was the time when my country was under the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos. And during that time, it was considered as a very grim period in our history when the supposedly coexisting power of government was not actually independently existing. And there were gross human rights violations. There's no free media. I remember my dad used to complain about, because he loved reading the newspaper in the morning, and he will read it from the first page up to the last one. And then he would complain, there's nothing real in the newspaper. There's nothing that we can believe except the date. And that actually made me to think deeply that in our society during that time, there's a lot of people who are, one, aware of the situation, but they are scared that you have this very powerful government, and if you question what's happening, either you will go to jail, or you'll be arrested, you will be tortured, or you will disappear. In my family, I grew up from a family which is quite politically involved. I mean, they are not in the national level, but at that time, I was thinking, it is not just the fact that there is a dictatorship in the country, but there are institutions and actors that enable that situation to happen. And it is not just because the dictator was evil, but also because there are situations that enable him to do what he wanted to do. At that time, what I see as the connection is, it's not just human rights being violated, but also the opportunities for people to lead a more productive life, and at the same time for the country to develop. So that encouraged my interest in development and social sciences, because I see that people should not just go on living and ensuring that they have food to eat or they have jobs and they can have income. People should be interested to know what is happening in the environment, to know what is happening, why there is poverty, why there are businesses that do what they're doing, or why the politicians are agreeing to what's happening and not opposing it. So that was how I started. I was 16, and my dad brought me to a protest, and the issue was the Bataan nuclear power plant. So it is in the northern part of Manila, and the problem was that there was a nuclear power plant built on the area, and the area is known to have an active volcano and an earthquake fault. I mean, there was no mild eruption, but imagine that, yes, you know, a nuclear power plant in a place where there's an earthquake fault. And then, of course, who allowed that? It was a project funded by the World Bank and IMF and a company, Westinghouse. And so people were questioning, why is this kind of lunacy happening? And who allowed it? And of course, it was a dictator. At that time, I was 16. That opened my eyes that people should have the right to say no. People should have a right to question projects. It's like a second nature to me now to think, if there is something happening, I would look or analyze what's the cause of this, or who is causing this problem, what actors in institutions are benefiting from this reality, and what are they getting out of it? What do people get out of it? And is it possible either to stop it or change it? And what entails for that change to happen? So since that time, that was 1984, I went to university. I joined the various organizations. I joined the student movement. And I worked professionally. But at first, I was a researcher. And then I decided to work with non-government organization. And since then, my work had always been writing and doing research about development projects, about how certain investments impact people's livelihoods, about, on the global level, the role of institutions like international financial institutions or the World Trade Organization and transnational companies, how they impact people's lives, people's livelihood. Later on, I worked regionally with a regional organization called Focus on the Global South, and our main campaign is to look at trade issues. But then at the same time, from trade issues, there's also a good number of trade campaigners looking at the linkages with other issues. And that's when I realized that trade is not just the trading of goods or changing the industrial policies of countries. It also have very direct impact to the environment, that when governments look or plan development, most of the time it focus on the interest of investors. So I have experience working in the local level, in the regional level in Asia where I came from. And now I'm based in the UK. I'm working with Global Justice Now as head of policy and advocacy. And we're working on issues that are linked with trade, with powers of corporation. We're questioning the power of pharmaceutical corporations, the profit-making that they're doing, and not really concerned about health. We're working on migration, on climate, on generally on development and economic justice.
What is your idea of activism?
To me, activism is being part of a collective. If, for example, we believe that climate change must be addressed, of course, we could have solar panel in our roofs and be vegetarian and recycle. But we can recycle for the next 100 years. It may not solve the problem. And I think the problem is so huge that individual action will not be enough to do that. It may help, but it will not be enough to do that. So it's always my firm belief that a person has to be part of a collective. And that collective would be stronger than an individual action. So maybe that is also one reason why all my lives, although I shifted from being an activist to being a writer to being in the academe, but I felt that there is always the need for me as an activist to be part of a collective. So that also it entails responsibility, it also entails accountability, that whatever agenda or whatever political goals and aim we're pushing for, you have a collective of people that are with you and that you're not just talking about your ideas. At the same time, your ideas are shaped by the discourse, by the discussion, by the debate, by collective thinking in a group, coming from a group.
What does activism mean to you as an individual?
It's practicing what you believe in and being critical. As I mentioned in the past, I've always been concerned what makes anything happen. So who are the actors involved? So it has always been like a second nature that I like to analyze society. So I think on that aspect, I have always been an activist. Many of my friends before when I was young, they were telling me that that's too serious. You know, it's not fun. Well, the thing is, it's also not fun if you're living in a poor country governed by a dictator and being, you know, run over by transnational corporations and you don't have a say. So for me, being an activist also means finding voice and discovering that voice as well, you know, in solidarity with others. Because I always emphasize a personal is political. So that's very, very true. In our personal development, you or getting across experiences, there is always that political aspect, because a person is a political animal. We always have to deal with power, whether we like it or not, or whether we acknowledge it or not. there's always this, that question of power. So it's a question of if a certain entity or a person is exercising power over people, over a sector or a class, it is our responsibility to question that power.
Who or what has influenced you and given you strength in your activism?
I would always consider that my parents are not normal parents. They have given me a lot of freedom. And also the condition in the Philippines. It is a very different from other period that in other countries, country that I know. So I consider myself as a product of my generation. And at the same time, benefiting from very, very broad-minded parents. Especially my father, because I learned a lot from him with his own way of thinking. That he always encourage us to find your reason. Now, if something happened to you, look also what are the consequences. So be responsible for your action and think about the consequences of your action. And now I have my own family, and I consider myself very lucky that my husband is very political as well. We met in a conference and he's working on energy as well. So that partnership is both emotional and political. And I think that helps a lot, because I know sometimes it could be difficult to look at or to deal with the personal and political. So it helps a lot that I found someone that shares a lot of my viewpoint. We have the same viewpoint. We have the same view of the world. From the beginning as well, when I started my activism at 16, the first thing is that my father introduced me to all his friends. So I'm quite used to relating with people 20 years, 25 years older than me. And at the same time, sitting in meetings where there are people who are more experienced than me, who have fought. So they were veterans of the fight against the dictatorship. And we don't want just us saying, you know, saying the thing and understanding and having that kind of understanding. The purpose as well is to make as many people as possible believe in what we believe in and view the reality as we view it. My former director, he's a popular educator. He's a former priest, former activist, former political prisoner. He said that it's not enough that there are good progressive groups, but we have to ensure as well that those who are many, the mainstream or the progressive is popular, and that the popular is progressive. So I think for anyone who's in this line of work, that's always the aim as well.
What has your activism done to change you?
It made me very, very aware of my situation, not just the personal, but also wherever I go. So I think in a way, activism put me in a very different reality. It requires dedication, and at the same time, it also requires building a character that if you believe what is right, then you will persevere, you will pursue whatever you think you're doing. So I think that discipline, that perseverance, that patience as well, because reality doesn't change overnight. So this combination of things that you see history unfold, and then I also consider myself very, very lucky of having experienced what I experienced, you know, seeing the transition in my country, and at the same time being an activist afforded me as well the opportunity to travel, to be in events and conferences where I meet people who are doing a lot of things to change the situation where they came from. So that sort of sharing of ideas, the exchanges of ideas and understanding, I think that enriched me a lot as an individual. There are things you can read in books, but there are also very, very important, meaningful things that you can learn from other people's lives and experiences.
What do you consider a win?
A win is, of course, changing policies, or at least I have experienced a change of government. at least I have seen a dictatorship fall. I have seen a country change from apartheid. I was in South Africa in the first elections 1994. I have seen how governments change. Of course, the win is when you effect a big change in the structure, in governance. But at the same time, it's also when people think differently. When people start to believe that there is an alternative, there is another reality, there are other options, there are different and better way of living our lives. I think that is what I would consider a win. When you change minds, when you make people pause and wonder, how is that so? And what can we do about it? Or realize how bad the situation is and would want to change and turn that situation into a more positive one.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush and our ever-growing archive, which contains interviews, debates, and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations, and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple. If you'd like to know more about Dorothy and her work, you can go to globaljustice.org.uk or springprize.org.